Please, to the book of Isaiah, book of Isaiah chapter 28 this morning, Isaiah 28, I'll be looking at verse 16 just to get started this morning. This great prophet Isaiah, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, records for us in chapter 28 verse 16, "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." Let's bow, please, for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning. Lord, we've had a great time in your house already. We've had the privilege of singing to you, and we've had the privilege of listening to others sing to you, privilege of prayer, the privilege of giving, and now, my Father, the privilege of listening and hearing from your word. And I pray, my Father, that by your Holy Spirit, you'd open the lips of your servant to speak, and the heart of every person, whether here in this room or watching or listening, open our hearts to your truth, to your word, to your Son. I pray, my Father, that you might magnify yourself, glorify your Son. I pray you'd edify your people. I pray you'd challenge and charge and change us, and by your power, that you might comfort us as well, and that, Father, you might win the lost to yourself, to your Son. We love you, we praise you, we thank you, we give you the glory for what you'll do, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This verse is a prophecy of the coming Messiah. David wrote about him in Psalm number 118 and verse 22 when he wrote this. 118 verse 22, "The stone which the builders refused is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." The stone that is refused by the builders but made the corner, the Bible says here, is the Lord's doing. The builders who rejected this stone were the religious establishment of Israel. And as they were building their religion, they refused the very Messiah who is to be the cornerstone of their faith. And I want you to notice in Psalm 118 that the Bible says this refusal and this rejected stone actually became the corner, and this is the Lord's doing. And then it says, "This is the day that the Lord hath made." I know we use that verse for every day, and certainly that is true. This is the day that the Lord hath made. But in this passage, it's speaking of a specific day. What is that specific day? It's speaking of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is when the stone that was rejected became the corner on that great day of the resurrection of Christ. You see, the builders thought that they had finally disposed of the stone that they refused, but on resurrection day, the stone arose from the dead and became the corner, and that's a day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in the day of resurrection. Amen? Isaiah rejoiced in that day that would come, and we rejoice in that day that has come. And Isaiah calls this stone a foundation stone of our atonement. He calls it a tried stone in his temptation and a precious stone to those who believe on him and know him. Peter wrote this, "Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious." The Jews had lost sight of the promised Messiah and began looking to religious piety and depending upon foreign alliances for their spirituality and for their safety. And as I look around at the 21st century, I fear that Christians may be becoming guilty of the same short-sightedness and worldly dependency. I believe that in these last days, this untoward generation, these perilous times, that we need to refocus. And we need to be reminded that there is, number one this morning, a solid rock. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. Amen. We need to be reminded in these last days that there is a solid rock. Matthew chapter 7, please, look at verse 24. The Lord Jesus is speaking and He says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." The Lord speaks here about building a house upon a rock. The word house here is often in the Bible used synonymously for the family. Throughout the Old and New Testaments, the term house is used in reference to one's family. In Genesis chapter 7 and verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark." Now, no one expects that Noah took his physical structure of his house into the ark. So what was God saying when He said, "I want you to bring yourself and your house into the ark"? He said, "I want you to bring you and your family into the ark." In Acts chapter 16, verse 31, "And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Well, we know that houses, physical structures, do not get saved. So what's He talking about when He says you'll be saved in your house? Talking about you and your family. And so this word house then is used so often, meaning the word family. And the Lord says that there is a rock upon which we can build our families. In Matthew 7, He says that rock is His Word. Look at it again. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these," what? "Sayings of mine, and doeth them." So He's saying here that if we listen to His Word and we do His Word, then we're building upon a rock. What rock? The rock of His Word. By the way, this is the same rock upon which He said He would build His church in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. We'll look at that later. And so the rock is the Word. And according to John chapter 1, Jesus is the Word. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now I know that there are some who teach that Peter is the rock of Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Let's look at that. Go over there to Matthew chapter 16. We just want to look at this. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Well, let's look at start at verse 17. "Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So I understand there are those who read that verse and they say, well, you see there, Peter is the rock of the church. He's the rock upon which Jesus would build His church. Well, let me ask you this. Is the Lord asking those who are listening to Him in Matthew 7 to build their houses on Peter? No. Number two, the word rock in the Old Testament refers to God 5 times, to the Lord 6 times, and another 6 times it focuses on the pronouns thou and he when referring to Jehovah. Never to Peter. Number three, in the New Testament, the words rock, foundation, and cornerstone are used synonymously with Christ, never once with Peter. Number four, in Matthew chapter 16, the word for Peter is petros, which means a piece of a rock. And the word for rock is petra, which means a mass of rock. And so Jesus was saying to Peter, thou art a little piece of rock, Peter. But upon a massive rock, I will build my church. Do you suppose that the Lord Jesus would build His church upon a piece of a rock? rather than a mass of rock? Look at verse 13 of chapter 16. Matthew, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" You see, that's really what's important, folks. It's not really important what everybody else says about Jesus. It's important about what you say about Jesus. It's not important what that religion says he is, or that religion, or that group, or that group. What he's asking, what he asks every single individual, is who do you say that Jesus is? But I want you to notice, he says in verse 16, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." That's who Peter said he was. That's who he was to Peter. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The rock to whom Jesus is referring in verse 18 is not the little piece of rock Peter, but the mass of rock mentioned in verse 16. Look in verse 16. What is it? The Christ, the Son of the living God. And so Jesus was using a play on words. And he said, "Listen, it's not you, Peter, you're just a little piece of rock. But I'm going to build my church upon the mass of rock whom you said that I am, Christ, the Son of the living God." Number five, the word rock used in Matthew 7 upon which we are to build our house is the word Petra, the same as the word used in Matthew 16 for Christ, which means massive rock, not Petras, which is Peter. So he never tells us to build our house on a little rock, a little piece of rock. He tells us to build our house, our family, on the massive rock of Jesus Christ. Number six, we have the denial of Christ by Peter, which demonstrated that he is indeed at best only a piece of rock and not the rock which cannot move. And then number seven, would God ask you to build your house or family on a massive rock while he built his house or family on a little piece of rock? Would he tell you in Matthew chapter 7, "Now listen, you better be careful. You better build your house and your family upon a massive rock," and then build his own on a little piece of rock? When writing Romans chapter 9, verse 23, Paul wrote this, "As it is written, Behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." The word rock is Petra, massive rock, not Petros, piece of rock. And so we can read it, if you might, this way. "As it is written, Behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and massive rock, Jesus, of offense, not a little piece of a rock, Peter. And whosoever believeth on him." If the rock was Peter, then would have to believe on Peter. But the Bible doesn't tell us to believe on Peter. The Bible says believe on the rock. Amen. Not Peter. Believing on Peter will do nothing for you. You don't get saved by believing on Peter. You don't get power by believing on Peter. You don't become a child of God by believing on Peter. But you do if you believe on the rock, which is what the Scripture says. The Petra, the massive rock. The rock from which Peter is only a little piece. And that by virtue of the new birth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, Paul clearly tells us who the rock is. Here's what he wrote about the children of Israel. "And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." You have the same God in the New Testament as you have in the Old Testament. You have the same Lord in the New Testament as you have in the Old Testament. You have the same rock in the New Testament that you had in the Old Testament. That's right. And the Bible clearly says the rock is Jesus Christ. So the rock in both the Old Testament and the New Testament is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So my friend, if you want to build your family on solid ground, there's no more stable, no more solid, no more stationary ground upon which to build your family than Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. You know what? This is the written Word of God. This is His sayings. Didn't He say, if we believe His sayings and do them? What are you building your family on? Are you building your family on the Word of God? Are you building your family on Jesus Christ? If you are, then you're building upon a rock. When you have Jesus Christ as a rock upon which you build your family, it will withstand the storms of life and the human existence on planet Earth. Do you understand the family is the backbone of the church and the backbone of our country. And yet there is a movement sweeping across our country to destroy the family. That's right. To make the family something it never has ever been. That's right. Something that is unbiblical, unscriptural. That's right. Or to tear the family down altogether. And if we're not building our families on the Word of God and on the Lord Jesus Christ as our rock, we're going to be moved off center. And many Christians are swallowing the salty seawater that's crashing up against their house, believing the lies that are fostered by the world system. But if you build your family on the philosophies of the world, it will fail. And the great fall will be that of your own home. If you believe that alliances with the world instead of dependence upon the living God will be your success, then just like Israel of old, your family will suffer and go through life like a man walking on shifting sands. In these days, in these last days, it is imperative that we're building our families on the rock. On the solid rock of the Lord Jesus Christ and His words. But you know, there is a solid rock. But if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there is also a sure foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You see, Jesus is a solid rock on which you want to build your house. You want to build your family. You want to build your marriage. You want to build your relationship with your children. You want to build your relationship with your parents. You want to build your relationships in the household on the rock. But number two, there is a sure foundation. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Jesus Christ is the sure foundation for your life. You see, He is the rock upon which you build your home, you build your house, you build your family. You build your interpersonal relationships. But He is the sure foundation upon which you build your life. Whether you're young or old, male or female, wise or simple, there's no other foundation that is as sure as the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here the Apostle Paul speaks of the foundation of Christ upon which a person builds their lives. Look at verse 13. Every man's work. Your life is your work. Did you ever hear anybody say, well, that's my life's work? A painter will have his paintings and say, there's my life's work. And an athlete will look at his trophies and say, well, there's my life's work. And a mother will look at her children and say, there's my life's work. our life. Our work is going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. As a Christian, when we meet Jesus, He's going to look at our life. Each of us builds our lives upon some foundation. Some build on foundations of education, a foundation of heritage, a foundation of culture, or a foundation of wealth. But the problem with these foundations is that they are transient and shifting. You can be rich one day and poor the next. Cultures change. Education always changes. Some build their lives on their beauty, or some on their natural talent or their natural ability. The problem with these foundations is that they're temporary and they decline with age. And so if your whole life's work is because of your beauty, one day it ain't going to be there no more. Or your personal prowess, or your personal power, or your ability, or your talents, someday they're not going to be there. That's poor foundation upon which to build your life. You build your life on the foundation that does not change, the immutable Lord Jesus Christ. If a Christian's going to build his or her life, if it's going to have a lasting influence and eternal value, if it's going to be rewardable, it must be built upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. Now listen, He must be the underlying stability. Foundation, life. You see? You have a rocky foundation, you have a rocky life. You have a shifting foundation, you have a shifting life. You have a weak foundation, you have a weak life. He must be the foundation that is sure and secure, the foundation able to hold and carry the superstructure that you build upon it. There is nothing in all the created realm that can hold and carry the weight of life. Nothing. Every other foundation will eventually crack and crumble under the load and the stress of life except the Lord Jesus. That's why famous people kill themselves and rich people kill themselves. Why? Because their foundations were not strong enough to carry the stress and weight of human life and the experiences we go through on this planet. He is the foundation of our motivation. He should be the foundation of our faith, the foundation of our Christianity. Not theologians, not philosophers, not preachers, not priests, and not rabbis. They are not our foundation. Jesus Christ is the foundation upon which we should build our life. Not movements, not conferences, not personalities or celebrities. There's no other foundation upon which a Christian can build a life worthy of eternal reward than the foundation of Jesus Christ. Are you getting my point here? If you want to build your family, you've got to build it on a rock. If you want to build your personal relationships in your home, you've got to build it on a rock. And Jesus is that rock. If you want to have a life that's rewardable, a life that is meaningful, a life that's influential as a Christian, you have to be building it on a sure foundation of Jesus Christ. Not your likes and dislikes, His likes and dislikes. Not your opinion, His word. You understand? And so there is a solid rock for your family and there is a sure foundation for your life. But then I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 2 and I want you to see that there is a chief cornerstone. Ephesians chapter 2, a chief cornerstone. Look at verse 19. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners. Aren't you glad for that? Before I was saved, I was a stranger and a foreigner to the kingdom of heaven. But fellow citizens, that's what we are now. Fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And you're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together as an habitation of God through the Spirit. Now before we go on, I know that someone has noticed that the apostles and prophets seem to be called the foundation here in verse 19. Isn't that what it seems like it says? Or verse 20, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. You say, preacher, I just thought you just went through a whole point trying to help us understand that Jesus is the foundation. And now we get over here to Ephesians chapter 2, and it says that we're built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Now, which is it? Well, this is like Acts chapter 2, verse 42, where it refers to the apostles' doctrine. This does not mean that they are the doctrine, nor even that they originated the doctrine. The apostles' doctrine means it is theirs only in a sense that they were responsible to reveal and teach it. Likewise, the foundation is theirs only in that they revealed and taught the message about the foundation. Look at it this way. One might say that our nation is built upon the foundation of the founding fathers. But this does not mean the founding fathers are the foundation. But the nation is built upon the work they did. They laid the foundation. So in a sense, it can be said that the apostles and prophets laid the foundation by preaching the message of salvation, but Jesus is the foundation. Put another way, let's ask this question. What was the foundation of the apostles and prophets? The answer, Jesus Christ. So look what it says. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Well, what was their foundation? Jesus. They're not the foundation. But we're built upon the same foundation they had. What foundation did they have? Well, their foundation was Jesus. And so we're built on the same foundation. You see, there's only one foundation. Jesus. We too are built upon their foundation, the one upon which they built. Didn't Paul say in 1 Corinthians 3:10, I have laid the foundation? What does that mean? What's he saying is, look, I've laid it out. I've laid the foundation out for you. It's Jesus Christ. See? What did I do this morning? I laid the rock out for you. It's Jesus Christ. I'm laying out the foundation. It's Jesus Christ. I'm laying out the cornerstone. It's Jesus Christ. Paul's not saying I created the foundation. He's not saying I made the foundation. He just said I laid it. So now we come to this cornerstone. Now what is a cornerstone? Historically, the cornerstone was the most important part of any building. The total weight of an edifice rested on this particular stone, which if removed would collapse the whole structure. The cornerstone also was also the key to keeping the wall straight. The builders would take sidings along the edge of the cornerstone. If the cornerstone was set properly, the stonemasons could be assured that all the other corners of the building would be at the appropriate angles as well. Thus, the cornerstone became a symbol of that which held life together. So you put the cornerstone in. If the cornerstone is plumb and the cornerstone is level and the cornerstone is square and you set every other stone in line with that stone, they'll all be level. They'll all be straight. The New Testament writers recognized that this stone was Jesus Christ. Notice Ephesians 2:21. It says, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Isn't that interesting? He's called the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone in verse 20. And then it says all the building is fitly framed, what? Around Him. He's the cornerstone of the church, isn't He? What good does it do you to build a church if He isn't the cornerstone? What good does it do you to build a church if human philosophy is the cornerstone? What good does it do you to build a church if worldly entertainment is the cornerstone? Jesus has to be the cornerstone. Why? He's the only one that's level. He's the only one that's square. He's the only one that's plumb. He's the only one that's perfect. And if you're going to build a local church, you have to build it around the cornerstone. Amen. Or you're going to be crooked. You're going to be off kilter. You'll be off center. Without him, the church crumbles beneath its own weight. You know why churches crumble? You know why they fall apart? You know that they go out of business? Because they crumble because they fall from their own weight. There's no cornerstone to hold them up, to hold them together. Humanism can't hold a Bible-believing church together. Without him, the church becomes out of plumb and lopsided. The reason many modern churches are getting out of whack is because they've replaced Christ as the cornerstone with things of man and things of the world. The Lord Jesus and the Word of God cease to be the measure of what the church should be and how the church should live and what the church should be all about. Do you understand? There is a biblical way of living. There is a biblical priorities of life. There is a biblical way to raise your family and a biblical way to run your business and a biblical way to run the church. And if we don't have Christ as our cornerstone and His Word as our guide, we're going to be all lopsided. The Word of God has to be the measure. The Lord Jesus has to be the cornerstone. I want you to notice Ephesians 2:20. Talking about us. It says, and we. We could put we in there if we weren't going to read verse 19. And are built upon the foundation of the prophets, of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the first, in whom the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy tabernacle, temple, in the Lord, in whom, here it is, verse 22, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. You see, we're builded together. What are we builded together around? A cornerstone. And so you, dear Christian, are a stone. And Mike and Lori and Caleb, in specific, you're really stones. You knew that was coming, right? Okay. But you are a stone in the spiritual tabernacle, the spiritual temple, the spiritual house of God, and you and I are to be builded around the cornerstone. Amen. To make up this spiritual house. Amen. Look with me in 1 Peter. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 1. It says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Talking about the Lord, verse 3. To whom, coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Now here the Lord Jesus Christ is called the living stone, the precious stone, and the cornerstone. And we are called lively stones, making up a spiritual house built around and held together by the cornerstone. Isn't that awesome? You see, the church isn't the building here. This is the church house. This is where the family of God comes, where the church of Christ comes to meet. And so we are all stones in that spiritual house. But Jesus needs to be the cornerstone around which all of us are plugged in or masoned in. A church without Jesus as the cornerstone isn't worth its salt. And that's why a lot of churches are falling apart. They don't have a cornerstone that can hold them together in this modern day in which we live. Do you understand the church is, just like the family, the church is being assaulted on every hand? Listen, folks, when we can pass laws in our country that you can murder a baby 1 minute before it gets delivered, we're way out of whack. Way out of whack. And if I got this correct, and I believe I do, there was just a governor in Virginia, I believe, that after a baby was delivered and alive, was going to make it comfortable until they decided, after they talked with the mother and the physician, whether they should kill it. Where are we? That's not America. I don't know what country I live in half the time anymore. Why does that happen? Because the world doesn't have a rock. The world doesn't have a foundation. The world doesn't have a cornerstone. They're just doing whatever comes to them in their natural sinful state. And the problem is the church has lost its power and influence in America because in many cases it's not building around the cornerstone. It's just building any old stuff they want to stick in there, any old way they want to slap it on and call it a church. And think they're going to be able to make something happen for good in America. It ain't working. The spiritual house is the church and a cornerstone is Jesus and we're the lively stones. But don't you understand? As lively stones, we need to be building our lives on the foundation, the sure foundation. As Christian families within the church, we need to be building our families and our relationships on the solid rock. So that when we come as individuals, building on the sure foundation, into a family building on a solid rock, into the church that is built around a cornerstone, that's a powerful combination. That's a combination that can make an influence for God and for good. As stones making up the house, we each need to be in alignment with the cornerstone. When the pressures of life bear down on you, there's only one cornerstone capable of handling the weight. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. When your need for guidance is urgent, there's only one cornerstone you can trust to keep your life straight. That'll give you a clear, straight edge. The Bible says we're not wise comparing ourselves among ourselves or measuring ourselves by ourselves. We got to look to the cornerstone. Am I straight? Well, look, see, am I in line with the cornerstone? Okay, I'm good, I'm safe. If you're not in line with the cornerstone, you're off center. The more stones in alignment with the cornerstone, the straighter and sounder is the structure. And it is imperative for the local church that the stones stay lined up straight with the cornerstone. And that's one of the reasons for hard preaching, folks. Amen. You want to go to some church that makes you feel good every time you come in and it tickles your ears and says, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, let's do kumbaya and have a nice little... If that's what you're looking for, it ain't going to keep you straight. The preacher's job is to try to help all the little stones get in line with the cornerstone. Amen. One of the reasons for preaching against sin is the pastor must go around the building and tap the stones back into place with the hammer of the Word of God. Amen. So there's going to be times you're going to come in here and I'm going to get the hammer out, I'm going to whack you inside of the head, and you're going to go, whoa! And then you'll say, thanks, I needed that. Amen. Amen? You know what God does before I get up here to whack you with the hammer? He whacks me with the hammer. Right? And sometimes it's tough to go into that study and start putting a message together because you know the hammer's coming out. And I'm sitting there writing messages like this. And he finally gets me in line. Amen? So you know I want to come in here and hit you with the hammer, right? Sometimes the stones don't like it. And sometimes they complain. And sometimes the stones even rebel. But if the pastor stops, the house becomes less and less and less straight. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is a solid rock upon which to build your family. He's the sure foundation upon which to build your life, and He's the chief cornerstone around which the local church must be built. But before I close, let me just show you one more thing about the rock, the foundation, the cornerstone. You see, Jesus is the rock of our salvation. 2 Samuel 22:47 says, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be the God of the rock of my salvation." Psalm 95:1, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." And so to those of us who are here today, we're born again, He's a precious stone. And He is the rock of our salvation. But if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're here this morning or you're watching or you're listening and you die without Jesus Christ and a relationship with Him as your Savior, He will not be the rock of your salvation, but He will become the headstone. I want you to look with me over here in 1 Peter chapter 2. Look at verse 7. "Unto you therefore which believe, He is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner." I take a little liberty here. To those who die without Christ, He becomes a headstone. Doesn't He? And upon that headstone is written, that you rejected Christ and received eternal judgment. The Bible says in Matthew 21:44 about this stone, "And whosoever shall fall upon this stone shall be broken." I fell upon that stone one day, the Lord Jesus, and it broke me. It broke my stubborn human pride so that I could come to God and confess that I was a sinner. It broke my self-will so that I could start to live a little more saying, "Not my will, but Thy will be done." It's a wonderful place to be, my friend, broken and on the rock. But then it says this, "But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." There's one of two choices. You either come to the rock of Jesus and you fall upon Him and ask His mercy and His grace and confess yourself a sinner and ask Him to save you, or one of these days He's going to fall on you and He'll grind you to powder. Without Christ, the Savior, your sins will never be forgiven and your soul will never be saved, and the eternal lake of fire will be your eternal home. And on your spiritual tombstone will be written, "Rejected Christ, received eternal judgment." Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And today, as we think of this wonderful, unspeakable individual named Jesus Christ, the Son of God and God the Son, I want to ask those of you this morning, first of all, who have never been saved, you're not born again, you do not know for sure you're going to heaven, I want to ask you to please trust Christ as your cornerstone and the rock of your salvation. Please receive Christ as Savior and become part of the household of faith, the family of God. The Bible says, "But as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." Please believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved from the wrath to come. Fall upon this stone before you die and it falls on you. You say, "Preacher, I need to be saved. I know it. I know it in my heart. And I'm willing to be saved and I want to be saved right now. Would you lift your hand up? Let me see it. Just put your hand up just a little bit. I'll see it. I'm not going to call on you, ask you to come forward, do anything you don't want to do. All right, thank you. and put it down. Is there anyone else? Say, preacher, I've gone to church all my life, but I don't believe I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as my Savior. I need to be saved. Anybody else like that here this morning? Lift your hand up. Let me see it. All right, there are Christians here this morning. Upon what have you been building your family? Sesame Street's not going to get it. It's got to be the Word of God. Upon what have you been building your life? Upon what do you want your church to be built upon? You see, decisions need to be made. Changes need to take place. And now is the accepted time. Let's keep Jesus as our solid rock. And Jesus as our sure foundation. And Jesus as our chief cornerstone. And we'll be all right. And maybe this morning, dear Christian, as we give this invitation, you will need to come and say, I've gotten off center. I needed to be tapped in with the hammer this morning. Oh God, I want to keep Jesus as my rock, my foundation, and my cornerstone. Father, we thank you this morning. Now, Heavenly Father, help us in this hour. These are perilous times, but they're exciting times. And it's really an opportunity for even a few to have an influence. And so, Father, I pray as it gets darker around us, our lights will shine a little brighter. And Father, I pray for every Christian in this room needs to make a decision or a change, or they need to come and talk to you about this idea that we've gone over this morning. Help them, give them courage. And I pray for the one who raised the hand. And Father, I'm praying for that individual right now, that you'll help that individual come forward and get it settled once and for all, to get on the solid rock, the sure foundation, and to get in alignment with the cornerstone. Help us, Father, in the invitation. We give you all the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand, please. We're going to sing our closing hymn, number 562, Just As I Am. Aren't you glad that the Lord will take you just as you are? Because He's the one who wants to work on you and change you and mold you and make you. He's the one who can cleanse you. He's the one that can make you what He wants you to be. Maybe you'd like to come this morning and just spend a few moments with the Lord. And maybe you'd like to just come in prayer and look at that cornerstone and say, Lord, I need to get tapped in line a little bit here. Maybe you realize you're a little off kilter, a little out of balance. Maybe you'd just like to come and praise Him and thank Him and say, thank you, Lord, that you are my rock and you're my foundation and you're the cornerstone of our church. Thank you, Lord. And maybe you need to come and get saved today. Maybe you need to just nail it down once and for all, not to have any more questions about it. Why don't you come and see me? We'll help you with that from the Bible, all right? As we sing On the First.